of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God. Amen.
Happy conclusion of the Fast of St. Mary's to everyone. By the grace of God, today we want to speak about a few quick points about the importance of unity. And we'll take three verses from today's gospel reading and that focus around this topic. But first, we just want to clarify what the meaning of unity is and the importance of unity. First of all, unity is not the same as uniformity. Uniformity would be if we're all wearing the same color of shirt, or if we all have speak the same language, or we all perhaps have the same role. That is uniformity. We can't have uniformity. We need diversity of different roles, certainly in God's house. And we see this, for example, even in things like teams of sports. If you have a sports team, a soccer team, you have a goalkeeper, you have defensemen, you have offense people. So the offense and the defense have different roles, and the goalkeeper has a different role, but they are united in their goal in the game they're playing, but they're not uniform. The goalkeeper is not doing the exact same thing as the striker or the defenseman. So we are looking for unity. We are not paying attention as much to uniformity because we can't all be identical. And we see this even in the example of the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all 100% united. And they're all 100% equal in importance and equal in Godhead. But they have separate roles. So they are 100% united, but they have different roles. The three verses we want to talk about today are the first, a house divided against itself, as the Lord said, cannot stand. The second verse is about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And the third verse is the conclusion where the Lord says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. It is very important for us to be united. As we see, God himself is united, the Holy Spirit with God the Father, with God the Son. And Christ himself is united with his church. And in the sacrament of marriage, we want to imitate this unity between Christ and his church, between the husband and the wife. And unity is important when we have children within our families. And unity is important, as we said, within sports teams. Unity is important within countries. For sure, unity is important within the church. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And we know, of course, that in the spiritual world, there are evil spirits, the devils, and there are good spirits, the angels of light. And we know for sure that the angels of light are united. We never see the Archangel Michael's having a fight with the Archangel Gabriel saying, I want to go deliver the message to St. Mary. No, the Lord gave me that. They're not wrestling with each other about who gets the glory. The Lord is very orderly, and he commands this angel to do this. The angel does it. There's no arguing, no, maybe he should do it, maybe I should do it. So we know for sure in the spiritual world, the angels of light are united, and as we expect, we're not surprised to hear that the angels of light are orderly, are united, are aligned. But we find out that even the evil spirits are orderly and united. Even the devils, if we could say there's one, in quotes, good thing about the devils, is that they are orderly and united. Now, we can't call it a virtue because they're not united in doing good. They're united in doing evil. But for sure, they are organized. For sure, they have ranks. For sure, they are orderly. And for sure, they are united. For example, we find that the devils may want to attack me to bring me down. So one devil comes from the left side, and he puts in front of me evil scenes and tries to bring me down by tripping me up and putting in front of me things that may cause me to sin. And if I labor and through the grace of God, I'm able to overcome that devil, another one comes from the right-hand side and attacks me with the sin of pride, saying, oh, you're victorious, you are very powerful, you're a holy man. And he tries to take me down through the sin of pride. So the devils do work together they are aligned, they are orderly, and that's why they are powerful, and we need to be always awake in order to fight against the devils. Within the evil spirits, there is unity and no divisions. And of course, like we said, within the spiritual angels of light, there is unity and no division. But when it comes to us as the children of God, sometimes we have divisions, and this is not appropriate because we are called to be like the angels of God. We are in need of the spirit of unity. We are in need of respecting order, respecting authority, humbling ourselves to the will of those in charge within the church, and obviously even outside the church, we are asked to respect the law and order. Respect God's laws first and respect the laws of the country so long as they do not contradict those of God. And St. Peter in today's reading says, be submissive to your masters with all fear. No problem. Does that mean we should be submissive to the good masters, right? He doesn't say, be submissive to your nice masters. He says, not only to the gentle, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And this seems a bit too much to ask for me to submit to a harsh master. But as you know, we're not being asked to do anything that the Lord hasn't done. And in fact, we're not being asked anything. Sometimes we read the gospel and we read the commandments and the epistles, and we think that we are to contemplate whether or not to do them. But St. Peter doesn't say, maybe consider being submissive to masters. He says, as a command, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. So we're not asked to give an opinion on this. This is a command. And our ultimate master himself, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who committed no sin, even he himself was submissive. When he was reviled, we hear he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten back. Sometimes we have this perhaps culturally in us that we get inflamed easily and we want to show our muscles and not take anything from anyone and show who we are. Also, St. Paul urges us, he says, to be careful, though, to note those who cause divisions. Note those who cause divisions and offenses and avoid them. I thought we were just speaking about unity, but here St. Paul is telling us to avoid people. Yes, this is natural. If you're seeking for unity, don't be aligned with those who are talking behind people's backs, trying to cause divisions and trying to break the body of the Lord apart. Note those who cause divisions and offenses and avoid them. He's not just talking about those who cause divisions in the world. He is talking, more importantly, about those who cause divisions within the church. So our first point is about unity. Unity is needed for sure in our families, and for sure unity is needed within the church, the house of the Lord. So how do we get unity? Unity, first of all, comes from humility. If I have a spirit of humility, this is a prerequisite. And then a spirit of humility leads me to a spirit of submission to those in authority, certainly within the church, and a submission to God himself. And we are commanded to be submissive, like we heard, even to the harsh. And then related to that, if we see someone causing divisions, we are being asked to avoid them. Don't associate with them. Even if they appear to be religious or holy, if someone is causing divisions, avoid them. Humility leads to submission. Submission leads to unity. And on the flip side, pride leads to rebellion. Rebellion leads to division. And if we look at St. Mary as a role model of submission, we see she is also our role model in humility, which leads her to submission, submitting to the will of God, and leads her to the ultimate unity of being able to carry God himself within her womb. Same thing for us. If we are humble and we submit to the will of God, then we are able to be united with the Lord directly. Humility leads to submission. Submission leads to unity. And here we are in the house of the Lord. We absolutely need unity. For where two or three are united in my name, the Lord says, he will be in the midst of us. And here we are gathered, not only two or three, we are gathered many, and we are also being offered to take communion. And the word communion, just like the word community, has the root of it, union. So we want to have communion with the Lord. We want to be united with the Lord. We need to be at peace with each other, not having divisions amongst each other in order to be united with the Lord. We must also be giving and forgiving to each other in order to be united with each other and united with the Lord and united in the Lord. Humility leads to submission, leads to unity with each other, unity with the Lord, and unity in the Lord, whereas pride leads to rebellion, and rebellion leads to destruction. Destruction leads to eternal condemnation. We have to be careful with who we are united with. Just like we said, we're not being asked, obviously, to be united with the devils. But also we are not asked to be united with those who cause divisions. And we heard it's fitting that in the Synaxar reading today, there were two saints. The first one was Saint Alexander, who was the patriarch of Constantinople. And he was being heavily pressured by the son of King Constantine, by Emperor Constantius, to accept back Arius, who had previously been excommunicated by a council of 318 bishops. And why was he excommunicated? Excommunicated means removed from the community of the faithful. Why was he excommunicated? Because he believed and he was teaching an incorrect teaching about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a priest and he was teaching this. So he was excommunicated. And some may say, no, take him back. He's a good priest. Actually, he was a very eloquent man. Had a very nice voice, was very good at preaching, but he was preaching the wrong thing. So it was fitting that he was excommunicated. If he repented and took back his erroneous belief and confessed that publicly, he would be rejoined to the body of Christ, but he did not. So we are not being asked to have union with just anyone regardless of their faith. We are being asked to have union within the body of Christ. And we have to be careful who we are united with. And like I said, some may say, why excommunicate him, take him back? You heard in the Synaxar reading how he tried to persuade the rulers to force the church authorities to take him back. And by the will of God, he was rejected because he refused to repent even to his last breath. And this leads us to the second verse. What does it mean blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven? Arius, we could say, blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Arius refused to repent until his last breath on earth. And God gave him many opportunities. And even if you followed in the Synaxar reading, he was given a severe pain in his stomach. And he could have at that point realized that the Lord is sending him a strong message, but he did not repent even to his dying breath. So blasphemy against the Holy Spirit essentially means refusing to repent until the very end. And it's important if we're talking about unity and we want to be united to God that we listen to the voice of God, we listen to the Holy Spirit, who each one of us who has been baptized and confirmed has within us. And the Holy Spirit is always trying to lead me back when I stray, trying to bring me back. Because 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was here with us on earth, and he preached to us directly, and he taught us directly. But then he was lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross, took my sins and paid the price of my sins, died, rose again, and was lifted up into heaven. So are we left here alone without a teacher, without a leader? No, he sent us the Holy Spirit personally for each of us to dwell within us, to lead us. And the wonderful constitution of Christianity which the Lord gave that we can read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Holy Spirit reminds us of every word that the Lord said. Even if I'm lazy and I don't read my Bible, I have the word of the Lord with me and I have the Holy Spirit reminding me. But if I resist the Holy Spirit, he's trying to pull me here and I want to resist and use my own strength to fight against him, or if I grieve the Holy Spirit, if I refuse to listen to him to the point that he is not happy with the way I'm leading my life, or if I go to the extreme and I quench the Holy Spirit, I shut him out of my life completely, even though he's within me, if I, through my free will, choose to ignore him, refuse him the ability to act in my life, then this is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Just like Arian did, we don't want to do, God forbid, because we don't want to have not only the horrible end that he had, but we don't want, more importantly, to have the horrible true end which he has, which is eternal condemnation. Humility leads me to submission, and submission leads us to unity, but submission has to be to the voice of God. I have to submit myself to the will of the Holy Spirit and do not resist the Holy Spirit, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, do not quench the Holy Spirit, do not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, meaning repent while we have an opportunity, because if we refuse to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to our dying breath, then this is does not hurt the Holy Spirit, does not hurt God the Father, does not hurt God the Son. Well, we could say it hurts them because they are hurt that they prepared a place for me and that I refuse to take my place in the bosom of the Father. But it is really only me who is hurt in the end. Finally, we have the verse at the very end of the gospel where the Lord says, you want to be united? You can be united with me. You can be united so that you can be my brother, you can be my sister, you can be my mother. And this is a crown jewel. It's a great honor. Some of you are blessed to be related to a priest or related to a bishop, or somehow even say, if we trace our heritage, we are related to this saint or this martyr, and it is a great honor for us to trace our lineage back to the saints. But here Christ himself is calling me to be his brother, you to be his sister, and you to be his mother. As he said to St. John on the cross, he said, behold your mother. He told St. John to take care of St. Mary as his own mother. Therefore, St. John is a brother of Christ. He says to each one of us, we can be his brother, his sister, his mother. How, Lord? How can I be your brother or sister or mother? He who does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. He who submits to the will of God is Christ's sister and Christ's mother and Christ's brother. And what an honor it is to be part of the Lord's family. So we are asked to listen to the word, to obey the word, to live the word. And that is the only way, is if not just I listen, but I take it in and I obey the word and I live the world. That's the only way that I can truly be united with the Lord. It's not enough to listen and to say, wow, that was a good sermon, or wow, that was a good reading, or that was a great spiritual meeting. Our lives are full of blessed spiritual meetings and spiritual activities and spiritual readings and CDs and DVDs and channels. How much do we sit back and absorb what we've taken in and change? Because it's not enough to hear, we're asked to do and to be led by the voice that's within us, the voice of the Holy Spirit. So to summarize, on the negative side, pride leads me to rebellion. Rebellion leads to divisions. Divisions lead to destruction and eternal condemnation. However, humility leads to submission, submission to authorities, submission to the will of God, submission to the Holy Spirit. Humility leads to submission, which leads to unity in the body of Christ. We're not asked to be united with the darkness. We are asked to be united in the body of Christ. Avoid those who cause divisions within the body of Christ. Submission to the Holy Spirit allows me to be led by the Spirit to return, to repent, to be healed, to be cleansed, to live forever and be forgiven. When I submit to the Holy Spirit and obey God, I am given the honor of being called a brother or a sister or even a mother of the Lord. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Amen. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie omnes mie.
Believe in one God, God the Father, the Word of Christ, Lord, who created heaven and earth,
all things seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of life, true God of true God, begotten not created,
one is with the Father, by whom all things are made,
who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven,
was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became man, and he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and buried, and the third day rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures, ascended to the heavens at the right hand of his Father, and he's coming again to glory to judge the living and dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, who believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the life giver, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and Son's worship and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and in one holy Catholic apostolic church, we confess and baptize the remission of sins.
We look toward the rest.